Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here with Pastor Adam.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hey.
We are back. Again. For another episode. And every time I say that, it feels like it's been a really long time. But for y'all, it hasn't this time.
For us, it is.
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks or so since we recorded.
We usually have a week or two in between. Sometimes it's longer. So it does feel like a while. When we start getting started on another recording session, it feels like that. So it does feel like it's been a while. But it ain't been.
We was just
in your ears recently. So now we're back again.
We're back again for our series, Any Questions? And we are doing the sub-series that we have formed around the question from Charlene.
Yeah, we've been answering Charlene's question for like 5 weeks.
Yeah.
This will be the fifth week of answering Charlene's question where she was talking about like how can a Christian be, her words, salt and light in the workplace, right? How can you live out, share the gospel in your workplace? And that was such a big question that we just have gone on a sidetrack and answered it for several weeks. So we're going to wrap that up today. And then the next episode, we'll answer another question. Then we're going to answer one more question. And then we're going to stop answering questions because Steph and I are tired of it. And we're ready to move on to a new series. Yeah. So that's what's coming up. So today we're going to wrap up this five-fold answer to Charlene Holt's question about being salt and light in the workplace. And what way we've answered this, we've said, well, there's five ways that you can worship God while you work or through your work. And there's sort of five things you want to focus on. So on episode 210, we said that worshipful work fulfills God's purposes in creation, right? That you are not just working, but God is creating through you. And as we work, we're part of that creation. So that's one way you want to view your work. And then in 211, we said worshipful work pursues the highest standards of excellence. Number 212, the third one, we said worshipful work reflects the highest standard of ethics. I really like that episode, by the way. And then last week, we said that worshipful work makes blessing others its bottom line, right? And so our work, even though we may have to turn a profit or we may have to, you know, serve customers, at the end of the day, we're trying to bless people through our work. And we see it as a way that we can bless people and the world around us. And I actually ended up revealing a little bit of today's on last episodes, but we're going to take that thought a little bit further, or like you said earlier, Steph, reiterate it. But today is another way, last way you can look at your work is worshipful work seeks to advance Jesus's mission where it can, or better way to say it is wherever it can, right? And so the thought is that any work that we do as disciples of Jesus should be done with a view towards the Great Commission. Like that's our marching orders in this life. Right. You, no matter who you are as a Christian, you have the same purpose. We all have the same purpose. And that's the Great Commission that God has called us to make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teach them to obey everything that Jesus has taught, He has commanded of us, and Jesus is with us. And so when we see our work, we have to see our work as doing it towards this end goal of the Great Commission. And so if you are someone who is a Christ follower in your workplace, you've got to see your workplace as, no matter what you're doing, whether you're doing something in a factory or you're working in an office setting or you're in a hospital, you're trying to advance God's kingdom in your work. And so you've got to do it through the lens of the Great Commission. You know, we're trying to make disciples wherever we are. And your workplace, like we've talked about in this series, is somewhere you're going to be the majority of your time, right? Like, Steph, you were kind of taken aback when we got to talking a couple episodes ago about how much time you're going to spend at work and with these people you work with, right? Or customers also, or you know, people you're serving, you're going to spend the majority of your time there. And so you can't let the Great Commission just take a, let me put this over here, that's for later and not during my work day. It has to be work too, right? So if you're a disciple of Jesus, you're a disciple of Jesus full time, all the time. And so you see your work in light and in the view of the Great Commission at the same time. And that's because that's our marching orders for everyday life, right? Our marching orders is to make disciples. Your goal in life as a Christ follower is to build His kingdom, is to help make disciples anywhere and everywhere, right? That's our marching orders as Christ followers from our risen Savior. So we need to pay close attention to that with regard to our work. So if you want your work to be worshipful, you do it through the lens of the Great Commission. We talked about this some last week because I got ahead on myself. Didn't even realize it was in the notes. But Billy Graham said that the next great awakening will likely take place in the workplace. And we talked about on the last episode that the workplace is this ripe mission field for us as people. It's a place we go to all the time. It's a place where people are. It's a place where unsaved people are, and a place where we are naturally making relationships, right? So it's not like, you know, every time we think of evangelism, half the time we think of going out into the public sector and, you know, reaching people for Christ. The people you're going to reach for Christ are going to be the people that you have a relationship with. And so your workplace, I think one of the reasons Billy Graham was saying this is that, you know, the gospel can infiltrate lots of places through the work environment, right? And so if people who are nurses see themselves as missionaries as they are nursing, or people who are in an office see themselves as missionaries in the office, now all of a sudden this mission field is grand, and it can happen in the workplace. And he talked about the next great awakening. An awakening is when people who don't know Christ are awakened, right? The way the scripture would talk about it is the scales are lifted off their eyes. They're being awakened to the love and to the grace of Jesus Christ, and they begin to come to Christ. So when you see a great awakening, if you look through history, North America, if you look through history in the East, right, not just in the West, you'll see that there's been multiple periods of these great awakenings where all of a sudden there's lots of people coming to Christ. The church just explodes and grows. It's a really cool thing. And they tend to happen, I don't know, every 50 to 100 years. There's a sort of a grand awakening. A ton of people, thousands and thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people, coming to Christ sort of at the same time. And so Billy Graham talks about the fact that the workplace is where you're going to see this happen. In other words, the mission field is open and available for that. And you're building relationships in those areas. And so that grand awakening of people coming to Christ, and especially those of us who are Christ followers sharing Christ, is going to happen in the workplace. This is what I got into on the last episode, but I'll get into it now so we can understand the difference. All right, so the way this works is, or the way you see this happening in a pattern throughout history, is you see first there's some sort of renewal, right? The renewal comes when those who are already Christ followers begin to wake up and realize, I got to take my life with Jesus serious. I start to pay close attention to these marching orders of the Great Commission. I begin to have my soul renewed by God's Spirit, and so I'm sort of on fire, right? That's the idea. And so you usually have several people being renewed, right? And then what follows a renewal is the word we like in the South is a revival, right?
That's true.
It's a revival. Now, what's funny is we take the word revival and it makes us think of new people coming to Christ. That's not a revival. That's an awakening, right? Mm-hmm. A revival is when all of a sudden the larger church starts to be revived back to life. They're now inspired by the gospel more. They start to live it out more. They start to feel this call to share the gospel. So there's a renewal that happens. And it usually happens in the hearts of some leaders, some people with influence, right, that start to make a difference. And then there's a revival that begins to take place in the church. And then once the revival is in place, that's when you start to see, so the saints are starting to actually take their stuff serious again. They're on fire for God. They're on fire for the Holy Spirit, right? And then that leads to an awakening where new people are coming to Christ, right? In other words, it makes sense, too, that the church becomes aware again, is revived back to the fact that Jesus is alive, he loves us, he cares for us, and he's building his kingdom, and we get to be a part of it. And we begin to take that seriously again. So all of a sudden, there's a revival where people are seeing their workplace as a mission field. And it's not just, I'm not just going to work. I'm doing this task at work, but I'm there too to spread the gospel. And then as that begins to happen across the board, now all of a sudden you have a lot of new people coming into the family of God, into the kingdom of God, bowing the knee of their heart, right, towards Jesus, and then you have an awakening. Lots of new people coming to Christ. Billy Graham's one of those people, there's quite a few that have said this, that think that's going to take place in the workplace. And I agree. Matter of fact, we're working on some stuff at church right now to help our people be able to see their workplace as a mission field and know how to, not just how to share the gospel with their mouth, but how to be, like Charlene's question was, salt and light in the workplace with this revived, renewed heart that may lead to people in their workplace coming to Christ, right? Not just them coming to their church, but them coming to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's sort of the pattern you see historically, renewal, revival, and then awakening. So if you're sitting around just praying for God to awaken people who don't know Christ, it probably ain't going to happen like that. It happens through us being renewed and revived first, where the body of Christ is on fire again, and that starts to ignite and spread, and people's eyes are open to the gospel. And that awakening can take place. And so do what you do well for the glory of God and do it somewhere strategic for the mission of God, right? So whatever it is that you do well, whatever that is that you do in your work, whatever you're trained in, whatever you now have experience in, you do it the best you can. And at the same time, you try to do it somewhere strategic, right? So you can, I was talking to a teacher the other day who, several years ago, changed where she taught. She went from one school to another, and she did it on purpose. She thought, you know, I can teach anywhere, but if I go to this school with these particular students, I think I can reach them with the gospel, right? And so it mm-hmm. was strategic planting of where to do that work. So when we think about where we're working at, don't just think about what workplace pays the best or which one has the most perks, or think about it as which mission field might be riper for me to go into. So do what you do well. Do it to the best of your ability. Do it with high ethics and high standards like we talked about in this series. And at the same time, do it somewhere strategic, right? Strategically go in knowing, okay, I think that I can uniquely share the gospel in this workplace context. And so that matters to where I work at, not just how well they pay or how close it is to my house, right? You know what I mean? Those kind of things.
Yeah.
Like I felt this personally when we planted the church. You know, I've been a pastor for a long time. About 25 years, because me and Valerie just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. Woo, woo. And
sorry, I was yawning.
That's about the same time. That's probably how she feels. That's about the same time as when I went into full-time ministry, right? So I went into full-time mm-hmm. ministry 6 months after we got married. So about 25 years. And, you know, I was at different places, no doubt. But when we planted Union, I felt like God was saying, do what you do well and do it strategically here where you're from, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because these are your people. You know this area. You've grown up in this area. You speak the same language. You know the same stuff. You like, you know. And so it was strategic, right? And so do what you do well, whatever that job is, but try to do it in the most strategic way you can and in the most strategic place that you can.
Yeah.
And that's how you hopefully will see a renewal, a revival, and an awakening through us being salt and light in our workplace. I'll close with a word of warning on this topic. Worship God, not your work. Because it's real easy to get those things confused.
Yeah.
Your work is not the end being. God is the end being, right? So worship God, don't worship your work. Sin has changed our relationship with work. Yes. Instead of glorifying God and serving others, work becomes one of these primary sources of identity. And then, therefore, one of those primary sources of idolatry.
True.
Right? Work all of a sudden becomes who we are,
it's
not
true.
Something that we do. Right? And then it becomes this ultimate idol that everything is centered around how we work, how we're seen at work, how much we accomplish,
yeah.
you know, all those things. And it's very easy to see how quickly work becomes that in our culture. Like, almost always, if you ask somebody the question, who are you? Your first initial reply is almost with what you do. Right.
Yeah. That's
right.
True.
So you have to think, but when you don't think and you just answer it. So if somebody said, who are you? I would be tempted to say, well, I'm a pastor. And then you have to pause. You got to go, wait. I'm more than that. And then you end up kind of, and what you'll do is you'll go to the next most pressing piece of identity that you feel. So pastor, I would say first, and then I'd go, wait a minute. Well, that's not true. I'm a husband and a father. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the next pressing one. But if you push a little bit deeper, you'll go, wait a minute, I'm more than that. I'm a Christ follower, right? Mm-hmm. But then if you push a little bit deeper than Christ follower, you realize that I'm actually God's masterpiece, right? That's really that's really what our identity
yeah.
is. But you have to work at that because sin
You're
has
right.
corrupted this.
It has.
And it has taken work and made work something that we attach our identity to.
Yeah.
I fought this my whole career of my identity being completely tied up in being a pastor. So when things are going good at the church, I feel great about myself. When things are not going good at the church, I feel bad about myself, right? Because my identity is too wrapped up in that. And anything we put our identity in becomes idolatry at some point.
Yes.
So, you know, you have to be very careful to make sure that you are worshiping God and not your work. We tend to define ourselves we define our worth by how well we do at our jobs, and we start to depend on the security of our job to take care of us instead of depending on God to take care of us.
Yeah.
Right? So we end up finding our identity not just in how well we do, but then it turns into idolatry because now all of a sudden, well, I do this work provides everything that I have. And so we end up having ourselves being the one who provides, we're our own source of security. We're our own source of, you know, of having our needs met, right? And work can do that real quick. It can get in the place of God, especially in the culture that we live in America, this driven, independent, driven is probably the best word, but it's such a culture focused on our work.
Achieving.
Absolutely. Our workplace. Mm-hmm. And so it's real easy to then, without even realizing it, worship work instead of God. I've done this. I mean, it's very easy to do in the church world. It's very easy to then worship your work for the gospel, and that this is so important, and you realize, well, wait a minute, I'm worshiping the work that I do instead of worshiping the God that I do the work for, right? And so it's just easy to do. So that was maybe my warning, that what God gave us as a means of saying, hey, look at God and worship Him, it's now become a means of saying, look at me and be impressed. Right. Because what God gave us with work is a way for us to take our hands and glorify Him.
Trying to get
co-create with Him and be able to give Him glory with it. Right.
Yeah.
The stuff that we would do with our hands, create with our hands, you know, that would give Him glory. And instead, what it does is it gets corrupted by sin, right, in the world and by us. And then it goes, look at what I did and be impressed by me, instead of look at God and get glory to Him. Look at me and be impressed by me.
That's so true.
That's the worry with work, right?
Yeah.
And what we need to be as Christians in the workplace is people who are not obsessed with climbing the ladder. You know, it's nothing wrong with improving and moving up the ladder in your workplace. But what we want to show people as salt and light in the workplace is that's not what it's all about.
You're right.
I'm not all about that, right? God is the one that has put me in this position. God is the one who's sustaining me here. Give Him the glory for what I do. Don't just look at me and be impressed at how good I am at my job. You know what I mean? Like,
true.
That's just a word of warning, I guess. Work is a terrible God, right?
It will leave you
wanting all the time. It's not made, your job, your work, your profession is not made to sustain you. Work's a terrible God to have. It is never going to function well in the throne of your heart. God is a great God. And so we can't ignore our work life. You're going to spend the majority of your time at work. But it also can't be the be-all, end-all. Like, work matters to God for sure. And God matters to our work. And we have to have that, not in the right balance, but we got to have the right mindset about it. You know what I mean? And I think that's why, like, this last one is just to convey the fact that you got to have the Great Commission in mind when you're at work. I'm not just going to work. My job in life, being bought by the blood of Jesus, is to make disciples, is to bring other people into the kingdom. How can I use my work to do that, right? How can I use my work to shine glory to Him? How can I not get work confused as the be-all, end-all of my life? In other words, work just ends up being yet another thing that we use to bring God glory and to draw people to Him, right?
Yeah.
Work's just another one. It happens to be a quite important one because we spend so much time at it, right? And so you don't want to ignore your work. You do not want to be the person who says, I go home, I do my job, I leave, right? You're missing, if that's the case, you're missing the opportunity to be salt and light in your workplace, to shine the gospel, to live out the great commandment and the great commission in your workplace, right? So you can't ignore it. You can't just act like it's not there. There are relationships that you build at work that are different than every other relationship in your life, right? They're significant relationships. You spend a lot of time with these people. And so you got to be able to see it through that lens. So work, keep this in mind as we wrap this thing up and finally finish answering Charlene's question for five straight episodes. work does matter to God, but God has to matter to your work. And we can't get these two things confused, because then we get in trouble. Work is not the be-all, end-all. God is the be-all, end-all.
Yeah.
Work is just yet another way that we get to worship and glorify Him and draw people to Him. You know, it's the same thing with family. Like, family is great. Family is not the be-all, end-all, right? God's the be-all, end-all. Family is just yet another thing that we can use to bring glory to God and to bring people into His kingdom, right?
Yeah.
And everything in our life's like that, right? Everything. We've been talking about this at church a few weeks ago, but, you know, the kingdom of God is a very freeing thing Jesus brings us into, because all we really have to do is understand that He is the King of all things, and that everything else He's given us isn't to go by the wayside, is to be used to continue to bring Him glory. So we do things like work as well as we can, so that God can have all the glory and people can come to know Christ. And so keep that in mind when you're thinking about your workplace, when you're praying for your workplace, that you have been sent into it for a purpose. And and let's throw in this extra little thing. You're not alone. You ain't the only Christ follower in that workplace. I would almost guarantee you ain't the only Christ follower there. So you have teammates there that hopefully are seeing this the same way. And, you know, you got multiple people shining the light of Christ in the workplace, multiple people praying and seeing their work as that. And so you're not by yourself in it. Don't go into it thinking I'm the only one. Highly doubt it. Highly doubt it. There's other people there too. And if you can begin to, work strategically with those people, and you both are 2, 3, 4 talking about the fact that we're Christians and we want people to see that in our life, in our workplace, now all of a sudden that light can get much bigger, much quicker in your workplace. So thank you, Charlene, for answering this question, because it was a very deep one that we had to spend some time answering. You know, and if you want to pray for an awakening in your area, right, in your community, in your workplace, in your country, you should go backwards a little bit. Not just pray for the awakening, but pray for the revival of the church. And not just pray for the revival, but pray for a renewing of the souls of the leadership and people who will spur that revival, that will then spur along that awakening of new people coming to Christ. So anyway, that's all I got for this long answer.
We needed it.
Five different ones.
We needed it. We did. We can all improve in this.
I actually talked to Charlene Sunday about it, and she was like, I can't wait till the last one. So she's getting her answers. So it's pretty cool. Yeah. But thank you, everybody, for listening. I appreciate it. We're going to head into next question coming up in the next episode. Mm-hmm. Somebody has asked us who is allowed to baptize people. So we're going to answer that question next.
Yay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll talk to y'all soon.
All right. See ya.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.